This is BizTech Talk with Dan Kelson in Boston, Massachusetts, and today the topic is connection, collaboration, and consortiums in innovation. I'm speaking with Pascal Marmier, who is with Swiss House for Advanced Research and Education, otherwise known as SHARE, S-H-A-R-E, which is in Cambridge, just across the Charles River from me, and near Harvard. You can find out more about them at shareboston.org, www.shareboston.org. And I found out about SHARE through, I believe, an interview I'd stumbled on with Bruno Giussani, who has the Lunch Over IP blog and is another Swiss fellow and extremely plugged into the kind of global innovation world, I would say. And I have an interview that I've done with him. What was interesting to me is that there's just so much to cover in innovation, so many angles to cover it from. My understanding, we'll get into it in a second, about the mission of SHARE is, and this is kind of the first time that I even thought about this, maybe it's just me, but there's a lot of talk about innovation as a person or innovation as a company, maybe innovation in a state or a smaller region, but I'd never really thought all that much about innovation on a country-wide level or even a global level, and I think that needs some airtime. And I think that's sort of the background that SHARE brings to this is an additional sort of new mission for consulate work that Switzerland is doing in this case, and perhaps others, and maybe this is a new wave of things. So before I run rampant on that, Pascal, thank you so much for your time. We've had some good conversations so far with the mic turned off, but what I like to do when I first get people on the line is you're the advisor for innovation and entrepreneurship at SHARE, the Swiss House for Advanced Research and Education, but where did your work sort of begin? How did you get into this space?
Correct. So I grew up in Switzerland, and first let me thank you, Dan, for the opportunity to share some thoughts there with your listener and web visitors. So I started up in Switzerland in a, I would say, typical fashion by going to university just close to home in a very kind of regional environment and definitely something very much focused on humanities, the legal world and others, and definitely not a lot of high-tech and innovation. The education system was pretty traditional. So for me, the first personal step to innovation was being thrown into the classroom of a law school here at Boston, and it was my first step coming into Boston, kind of this energy and the power of discussion and reflection in groups. So this was on a personal level my first interest. What I noticed then when I started looking for a job is that a lot of what's driven around here in the Boston area is definitely linked to innovation, be it at the university level or business level. So I got, again, kind of another eye-opener moment when I met with the fellow and the first consul that started the Swiss House here in about 1999 to 2000. We both brainstormed very hard as to how we could help Swiss people basically tap into this reservoir of innovation, and that led to some very interesting discussion, and it was the peak of the internet, so we were receiving a lot of interest from Switzerland as to how could we also get our hands into the untapped or at least continuing increasing reservoir of money and other ideas of the Boston area. So we started thinking about the different things we could do, and obviously there's this now Swiss House that's now stable and permanent, but at the time we also tried to create a venture fund, so I was very excited to try and put together and gather some angel investors around the idea of helping Swiss entrepreneurs. So this was my kind of first stage of learning about innovation on the job, if you want, to a certain extent.
Sure, right. And so your background was primarily from a law background, and you were almost on the verge of becoming a lawyer.
I had been practicing in Switzerland for a little while, and then I basically got a little bit sucked in by the system and this gentleman who, you know, thought I could use my skills in different settings, and I frankly couldn't really get into traditional legal jobs here in the U.S. due to my previous background in Europe. So I needed to be a little bit more entrepreneurial, which is also something we don't really learn and we're not really used to. I mean, I would say one of the other moments I remember from this period was being in front of a recruiter saying, "You look very smart, but we won't find a job for you. You have to create it yourself."
Well, there are worse things than create your own job. But it sounds like you've done that.
And it works out very well. So
yeah.
I'm delighted.
Yeah. Well, so what I think is interesting, again, you know, I mean, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a politician. I don't follow all that much about those sorts of realms what I see as the mission for the Swiss House for Dance Research and Education, it's under the umbrella of the Swiss Consulate, correct?
Correct.
And typically, you know, what I know of consulate work, I basically get from TV. And it's a lot of facilitation. It's the back room,
right.
Negotiations, and it's political. Consulate work essentially has been happening for probably thousands of years, essentially. It's, you know, the networks that make things happen in politics and in the way that life works. This mission that you have, and you're the advisor for innovation and entrepreneurship, is very specifically about, I mean, you're here in the U.S., which I think is very interesting. And so I have Danish background from many, many generations ago. If I drew an analogy here, Lego, which pretty much everybody knows about, and I'm a fan of from as a kid and as an adult now, I think they have a similar sort of situation, and hopefully I can tie this together. Lego builds little plastic bricks. You know, everybody
right.
knows that. To innovate themselves, and you would think they're innovative because a toy company you normally think of as innovative, they had to literally send people away from Denmark and put them in, as it turns out, Cambridge here, to create the Lego Mindstorms product because innovation was stifled, essentially, within Lego. They thought they had to play their normal, however long they've been around, you know, 50, 70 years or something, they had to play that card as this is what we do. And to break out of that, they had to send people out of the country, literally, so they wouldn't be bogged down into sort of a skunkworks kind of operation. Now, the Swiss House share, you have an office in Cambridge, and you have Swiss Next, right, in San Francisco?
Correct.
All right. And then you have some other Swiss innovation offices.
And we also have Singapore and Shanghai with a few more on the drawing board.
Right. And so I think that's really interesting because, I mean, so part of your mission is to help Swiss citizens, wherever they are, right, be more innovative and entrepreneurial individually, and then also to build up Swiss companies or organizations so that they're tapping into distributed Swiss populace, essentially, as well as learn from the countries that they happen to be in, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So I would basically look at it from two sides. There's the, I would say, outside part of our activities, and there I would say one of the key words is definitely collaboration. And what we're trying to do is really, from the various locations that we listed, trying to help Swiss innovators and Swiss scientists make the most of the amazing intellectual capital of these places. So take the Boston area, for example. We've been working on building, for example, a few key programs in nanotechnology, and this resulted not only in some business deals for some of the companies, but also a lot of multilateral kind of collaboration program with the universities and also some kind of MOU, memorandum of understanding between certain universities. So we've been very happy and to a certain extent very successful in terms of building this network and increasing a little bit the pace of collaboration internationally. So we really want to see these hubs, if we want to call them this way, as little launch pad for all kind of creative ideas. So one idea is definitely to push Swiss people to be innovative and think of new ways as to how they can, again, collaborate with U.S. companies and innovators. But it's also the idea of serving a learning lab for our compatriots, if you want. And there the idea of the learning lab is we have a lot of visitors and people that we want to really expose to the Boston area key cluster, if you want, and give them a little bit of sense of what the cluster is made of, be it some of the persons that are active here, the financing part, obviously also just the inter-community linkages that you have here, just get them thinking a little bit about what works and what doesn't work. So a key example is a TWEED program that's now it's in 7th edition for young entrepreneurs. And what it is for them, it's just a kind of a boot camp, kind of a get out of your lab, get out of your country and reflect on what you've done in a very dynamic way by coming here in the middle of the cluster and meeting all kinds of members of the high-tech community. And this has worked really well.
Right, right, and that's why I think the title we chose, Connection, Collaboration, and Consortiums in Innovation, is really key. I mean, you know, so often innovation is talked about, you know, like Thomas Edison is mentioned as a great innovator, or, you know, Tesla, or, you know, all sorts of individuals, Einstein.
Right.
But there's a whole lot of people that are around them, you know, they're borrowing or stealing or standing on the shoulders of giants from people that came before them or their contemporary peers or that are around the globe. I mean, I think what's different about today in the world of innovation versus 10 years ago, certainly, you know, 50, 100 years ago, and this is a slow realization in general, I think, for all of us, that we're a whole world of people that could be working together a lot more effectively. And it's, I mean, you see this even in microcosms where academics working with business people, you know, working with very entrepreneurial types, and obviously working probably with some sort of funding organization, whether it's angels or others, working together. And that's probably in a local region, so it happens all the time in Silicon Valley, obviously, and in the Boston area, and other places in the world. But I think what you're doing is to sort of blow that apart and simultaneously expand and contract. You're reaching
Absolutely.
Out across.
Yeah, yeah. So the you know, moving a little bit from the outside, our activities, to the inside and our kind of thinking and way forward, what you're describing with LIGO is, I think, a little bit what the Swiss government wants to do abroad. And I've called it, and again, I would not say it's maybe the mainstream view of the administration, but I've called it open source diplomacy to a certain extent.
Oh, okay.
What we're doing there is basically we're trying to reshape diplomacy as it was known before.
Yeah.
You mentioned closed door, you mentioned high-level political decision and others. We want to bring a sense of grassroots, kind of, you know, down the line and entrepreneurial diplomacy, if you want. So the idea there is really to let the people with ideas and facilitate the ideas of these people by being on the ground, understanding their needs, and then shaping up our activities and our role, if you want, in these various places that we listed as simply being of help to them and just kind of understanding what makes most sense and facilitating this collaboration as a second step. And we're very much a work in progress. I think what's been really a key flavor of our activities here and elsewhere is that we call ourselves kind of experimental labs, if you want. And I hope that as we're moving forward, the experiment will basically turn out with some kind of key success factors. And to a certain extent, that it may also serve as a good example of new practices and innovative practices that can then be transferred back to our government. But I think this idea of open source diplomacy is definitely kind of adapting to the globalized world that you described a little bit before, and just the fast pace of what's going on, because if I become today an expert in nanotechnology, then I will miss the clean tech wave that's coming or some other big thing. So we better, in a sense, to kind of play a little bit what the Danish did, which is kind of opening the eyes of others and helping along building bridges rather than ourselves doing the work.
Right. That's a great term, the open source diplomacy. I mean, there's, you know, open innovation or crowdsourcing or crowdcasting or outside in or inside out. You know, there's a lot of that stuff going on right now. And again, I think it's sort of, it's not enough to have a good idea, because if all you have is an idea, it's never implemented, then who cares? You can have ideas all day long. And everybody does, but it's the people that actually do something with it that matters. And this whole idea of, you know, transparency and openness, whether it's in government or in business, you know, secrets don't really do much good for anybody. It's when ideas start to get out that they actually start to take off, and maybe they get twisted or tweaked or improved, hopefully, once they're out in the world. But, you know, the traditional view of intellectual property is that you've got to grasp your ideas and hold on to them for dear life and keep other people from touching it. And
the
new wave is clearly that, yeah, you have to do that. And I'm going to be interviewing somebody on intellectual property and how do you get your head around patents. But, you know, in general, it's, you know, we're not all just individuals here on the earth with no relationship to anybody else or other ideas.
Absolutely.
It's a whole ecosystem. And I think that's what really intrigued me about when I first read about what you folks are doing, it's explicitly that you're trying to make connections, which I think is a nice twist on the diplomatic channels.
And I think, you know, one aspect, and it's been a little bit confirmed by how you described that you found us, Dan, but this is certainly something we've been working on, this kind of idea of opening up ourselves. Since the beginning, we've kept, I would say, an active list of people that we'd like to be involved with, and we've created mailing lists. Of course, it was very manual and labor-intensive at the beginning through Outlook. We've moved now to some software-based solution like Constant Contact that a lot of people would know.
Sure.
We've really tried to kind of keep involved a sense of community and trying to bridge this kind of gap that exists between some of the communities here and really kind of creating around topics new avenues for people to exchange, and of course always kind of finding a Swiss perspective to that. That's one aspect. The other aspect of what we've done is trying again, similarly to what we're doing today, have content as well, because we have 60 to 70 events from, you know, very small to more than 200 people, and obviously there are a lot of discussion, there are a lot of good things that are happening, and we started recording it in a blog form at first, but now we're fastly moving to a video format where we'll have snippets of various events that are going to be on our event for download. And then I think the thing that exemplifies this whole thing is that we have streaming capabilities as well, which means that you're probably in one of the only concerts here where people can have access to real-time information on what's going on here. So I find this, again, idea of transparency and kind of collaboration very true on a kind of digital format of what we do too. And then last point is that we use a lot of video conferencing as well to kind of go over the distance problem that you sometimes have. You basically need to put people together. It's difficult to have them fly. In a snap, you can open a video conference, and with the quality that's becoming really excellent now, it's also a great way to, again, put people together and share new ideas and start collaboration or kind of multi-party consortia.
Yeah, right. And, you know, and so I've been to your facility there, and it's a nice space that you can easily turn into an open space or to kind of close it down and make it a lot more intimate. So, yeah, I think it's really interesting how you're pulling all of it together on the technology side and on the space itself and the way that, and the programs that you're operating. You know, I'm glad that I did find you through all the various means at my disposal and finding really interesting people, you know, locally and globally. And I think this is nice because it gives me a chance to do both at the same time.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I know that, I say this with everybody that I talk to, but especially in anything that smacks of innovation, I mean, we could be talking forever, essentially, about everything that you're doing and what's going on in innovation. And I know there's a lot that you're doing at the government level and in the various funding and sort of mentoring programs that you're doing. But I don't think we have time for that today, and it'll give us an excuse to come back and talk about that again later. Thanks so much for your time today and previously when we met. I think it's really interesting what you guys are doing, even though I'm not Swiss.
You invited. I mean, we're definitely not, you know, limited to any Swiss. I think that's also been one of the trademarks of our activities, is having kind of this open door policy where we just like for people to come in and then kind of look around at what we're doing and suggesting ideas and others. So your listeners as well are definitely invited here for coffee and more.
Great, yeah. Well, yeah, and fondue and whatever, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I was somewhat nervous to walk into a consulate since I'd never done that before. So, yeah, but if I can get over that, then surely other people can as well. Let me wrap up. The title for today's interview was Connection, Collaboration, and Consortiums in Innovation. To find out more about Pascal and his work as Advisor for Innovation and Entrepreneurship, you should hop on over to the Swiss House for Advanced Research and Education, otherwise known as SHARE, which is in Cambridge, Massachusetts. The URL is www.shareboston.org. Pascal's relatively easy to get a hold of, although he's busy shuffling his priorities around constantly, but that's okay. Well, everybody's busy these days. But I think, you know, what they're doing is really interesting, and I'm very interested in trying to elevate the discussion on sort of this global innovation idea. So anybody who's listening who has something to say about that, please feel free to either leave me a message at 781-268-0716, which is the call-in number for my podcast and the blog. The blog is BizTech Talk. If you happen to find this through iTunes Music Store or some other podcast directory, so come on over to biztechtalk.com and hear more about this, comment, track back, whatever you feel like doing. But join the conversation. I would love to expand this, and I'm sure that, I mean, this is part of Pascal's mission, is to continue having this conversation, so I'm sure both of us would love to hear from you. Again, Pascal, thanks so much for your time, and I hope we can catch up again.
You're welcome, Dan. Thank you so much, and happy innovation to all your listeners.
All right. Thank you.